with all the events, I
and we
can't
will
say it
link
off the top
to
of
it.
My head.
We'll link, we can to link to it at democracynow.org. I want to thank you both for being with us. Sherif Abdelkaddous, Democracy Now! Correspondent, Mehdi Masser, reporter in Egypt, and Sena Seif, writer, filmmaker, activist, imprisoned herself for more than 3 years, sister of Ala Abdel Fattah. His book is just out. You have not yet been defeated. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Stay safe.
When I first came to Brookhaven town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around. Way, hey, 90.1, then one day I turned on the dial. Way, hey, 90.1, there I found music to make me smile. Way, hey, 90.1, I waited for a legal ID. Way, hey, 90.1, the DJ said WUSB. Way, hey, 90.1, they start each day with the rising sun. Way, hey, 90.1, don't ever finish till after day is done. Way, hey, 90.1, so if you want good music to hear. Way, hey, 90.1, there's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear. Way, hey, 90.1, so if you like the sounds, do take a look. Way, hey, 90.1, at WUSB Stony Brook. Hey, hey, hey.
That's right, that's right. You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. We are currently broadcasting on 107.3 W297BM and streaming on the internet live at WUSB.FM. You can also use the wake word on a home assistant device. Just say, play WUSB on your favorite streaming app. Right now, the time is approximately 6 o'clock. That means one thing and one thing only. It's time for Off the Wall. Enjoy. Yes, indeed. And tonight we have a very special show for you. I'm going to be doing this. And joining us tonight via telephone is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, but you didn't say who you are.
Oh, I'm Kyle.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is me. What, am I on the phone? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're in there.
Okay, yeah, I'm isolated. the damnedest thing. I went and I got myself COVID somehow. Yeah, it happened last week. And I think Thursday was, we both took a test. And you were negative. I was positive. Kind of how we are, you know? Except in this case, it didn't serve me well, and it meant that I had to be isolated down here in the dungeon, which is where I've been since Thursday. How is the world, Kyle? How is it?
I'll tell you something about the world. It's really messed up right now. I'm having a tough time with it. I don't know about you, but I guess we'll get into some of what's going on in the world. I think I saw you with a wheelbarrow full of printouts going around into the remote broadcast location.
Yeah, well, I was getting a delivery of news items for this week's show because, well, that still must go on. And I guess you saw what some of that was about.
Enough to keep you busy, right?
It does. And it's, you know, I got to say, it's really good that we have the ability to break our studio into bits where we can have a remote facility set up and keep the other remote facility going. And that's where you are right now, and I'm down in the remote facility.
The auxiliary remote.
Oh, yeah, auxiliary remote.
The spare remote.
There's also a lion in the room that we're not addressing, and that is the fact that we're not on the air either. WUSB's main transmitter has really bitten the dust.
Now, did you hear my ID?
I did.
I did say what I thought I said. I said we are currently transmitting on 107.3, but can you go into that? What exactly happened with the transmitter?
The way you said it was very Soviet-ish, in that it's what you didn't say that we have to analyze.
That's right.
You didn't say 90.1 FM, you said 107.3, and that's true. If you're within that 30 feet area where 107.3 comes in, no, I'm kidding. It's a decent, well, it's not that decent, because there are these conservative jerks up in Connecticut that put a more powerful station up since we put ours on, and it's kind of stepping on us in various places, but I won't get into that right now. 107.3 is broadcasting, but 90.1, which is our main frequency, kind of blew up. and we have our best people on it, and we are doing everything we possibly can, but it's going to be a major, major expenditure. And I should point out, we are in the middle of Radiothon. It's kind of hard to be in the middle of a fundraiser when you lose your transmitter. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little history here. The first fundraiser we ever had on this radio station was in 1989. And do you know what we were doing in that fundraiser? We were raising money for a new transmitter. And do you know that new transmitter that we raised money for back in 1989 is the same transmitter that just quit on us? Those transmitters only last 15 years. That one lasted 31 years. So gives you an idea how we're able to stretch things here at WUSB. But now that we don't have that transmitter, it's very hard for us to get the word out that, hey, we really need listener support. So that's why we need the listeners who are there now, whether you're online or listening to 107.3, to spread the word that WUSB is in a real emergency crisis here, and we have to get back on the air and get that main transmitter going. Please give a call. There are still people in the studio. 631-632-6901. Pledge anything you can afford. If you know rich people, call them and get them to pledge as much as they can possibly afford. And, of course, you can also go to WUSB.fm and pledge that way as well. This it really brings it all home. I mean, we're dealing with such adversity, whether it's just the craziness of the world in general, whether it's losing the transmitter, whether it's COVID, it's the perfect storm, I guess. Everything is happening all at once. but we're still, we still keep getting up, and we still keep fighting another day. And that's, you know, it's been a really weird week for me personally, because I thought I'd be able to avoid this. You know, I thought that, you know, everything we were doing was working, and it was working. But it just takes one instance, you know, it just takes one thing. I only went to one place the whole damn week because we were working on the latest issue of 2600. And we decided to go out, hey, let's go out and have a beer. You know? And it was the place that we went to go get a beer that it must have happened because there was no other place we went to. And then 2 days later, I've got some symptoms. I decided, you know, it's probably a good idea to take a test. Sure enough, I had the two little lines instead of the one line. And since that point, I've been following all the guidelines, you know, being isolated. But it's weird, you know, and it's scary, too, because you realize, wow, this thing's got me now. I've been lucky. I haven't had really bad symptoms, although I have not been asymptomatic. The second night, I believe, was the toughest night for me because that's the time I had a fever. I actually, yeah, I have one of these little electronic thermometer gizmos, and usually I aim it at my forehead and I get a temperature of like 97. It's usually below normal. It's 98.6, I believe, is normal.
Right.
I'm usually 97 or something, and it beeped several times. I thought it meant the battery was running low. That's what I thought it meant, but no, it means you're running hot. It showed 100. I did it again like an hour later, and not only did it beep rapidly, it turned red. I was at 101 at that point. So that was really kind of scary. I'm going to do it right now, actually. Hold on.
It's even more surreal.
Okay, I'm at 98.1 right now. So that's pretty good. I'm much better. This is the first day I've been able to get up and feel a bit of energy. I've been sleeping like 12 hours a night, you know, I get up, I'm achy, and I really have no motivation to do anything. But I feel like I'm over the hump on this, and you know, it's just really frustrating because you realize that to this day people are minimizing it. I mean, I know it's not as bad as it was at a certain point, you know, when there was no vaccine and when the strains were a lot more serious. It still can affect you badly, depending on what your health condition is and various other factors.
I think it's especially surreal in light of how much is still being rolled back, all of these masking requirements going away. And I find it especially strange that this whole landscape is changing and here it is coming back in these new strains or forms. So it's not quite gone away. And just it seemed an insult to injury that it was until this point that you were unaffected by it. And I think we were just talking about eligibility for I guess the second booster shot. And I think it was Sunday over the weekend, the White House said, yeah, we're going to recommend it for people, I think, 60 plus, where prior to that, they were just making it available to people, I think, that were 50 and over.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was over the weekend that they changed that guidance. There seems to be far too much disarray. It just seems to have taken a back seat, and I don't know. It's a free-for-all. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. And anger in the wrong places. You know, basically, people are all bent out of shape over where they have to wear masks. That's not the issue. The issue is, can you avoid getting sick or getting, you know, horribly ill? I mean, this is the sickest I've been in decades. And I really wish it hadn't happened. But, you know, I feel like I followed all the guidelines. I probably should have been doing more. I probably should have been wearing a mask in public places, even though, you know, people are saying, oh, it does nothing. That's not true. It doesn't do nothing. In fact, you know, when I go out, whenever that is, hopefully in the next couple of days, I'm going to have to keep wearing a mask at least 5 days afterwards. And if, you know, people are giving me crap for that, you know, do I say, hey, would you like me to remove the mask because I was just COVID positive? You know, because this is to protect you, jerk. That is the kind of mentality that we're dealing with, and it's hardly upsetting to be going through this and to see, you know, like the news the other day that the mask mandate for planes and trains was struck down. Someone please explain this to me. How is it that a Trump-appointed judge in Florida gets to override the CDC and impose her views on what is considered right as far as health care when she knows nothing about the subject, and now we all have to follow her? How does it happen? How does that happen? There's so many federal judges. Why did she get it? I don't understand that. And, it's, you know, thank God for the MTA, because they are continuing to say, okay, on our trains, on our buses, we're going to ask that you keep wearing masks until we say that you don't have to anymore. And I'm good with that. I am fine with that. I'd rather wear a mask unnecessarily and not get sick than have the freedom to walk around with my face exposed and have to deal with what I've gone through for the last week.
Amen. I hear you, E. I the thing for me, it's that when you go out and you have to wear a mask, you're going to be the only one. There are not a lot of people wearing them much anymore, especially with the way things have been talking about this, the way it's been talked about this week with relaxing all sorts of things and all this news and celebration and should we, shouldn't we. I can't even get that excited, but there's so many more important things going on. Granted, it's important, but it seems silly at this point because you don't know what to take seriously and what not. And I find it, and it is not benign. You look at some of the stuff that's going on in Shanghai right now and in other parts of the country, and cases are going up a little bit. So, it's very odd. I mean, I've been relaxing a little bit too, and as many people have with sort of this whole reopening atmosphere, and I get the sense that this is way more about economics and people's mental health than actually contracting and or not transmitting COVID. I think this is just the kind of control that it took to get here. People are not interested in listening to anymore. So if something does happen, I really fear, you know, how much people will pay attention to it. Is there anyone charismatic or smart or, you know, in a that's listened to enough that would be able to say, hey, oh, actually, we really should take this even more seriously? I just don't know. It's a real bummer. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And, you know, I've been walking around with a mask kind of in my pocket, because I don't know if I should, like, maybe have it. In some scenarios, maybe. I've been kind of gauging it, and part of me doesn't want to do it at all, just because, A, I'm the only one, and then I'm like, you know, does it really matter? Because, you know, we're past this sort of whatever it was, greater than 1% or the transmission rates and so forth. So I find myself, I'm a little confused. I'm leery and also weary. So that's enough about COVID for one show. What else is going on?
Well, I mean, you know, that's pretty much been my world for the last week. But to clear it up, you should be what I believe they call quarantining. I'm isolated. You're quarantining. And what that means is that you've been exposed to the virus. I'm the virus. You've been exposed, you know, through me.
Oh, don't I know it?
Yeah. So that means that you have to protect other people, and that means when you're out in public, you should have a mask on for that period of time. Now, the plan, as far as I understand it,
well, I've been keeping my distance. That's for one thing.
Well, we're retesting tomorrow because that's, you know, today is the fifth day, so tomorrow I see if I'm positive. I'm still positive. I guess I stay isolated for another 5 days. If I'm not positive, then I get to emerge from the dungeon here. Of course, you test as well, and hopefully you're also negative. If you're positive and I'm negative, then I guess we just switch places, and then you isolate, and I get to, like, walk around the world with a mask
on?
No,
not on your life. No.
Well, I think that's how it has to be. I don't know, but we'll find out tomorrow.
We'll,
so it's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, no, we'll figure that out.
But, you know, we're about to hit the 1 million mark within a month or so. I think we're going to hit 1 million people who have died from COVID-19 in the United States, which is an insane number. And it just really bothers me that all people talk about is overreaction and when do I have to wear a mask, when don't I have to wear a mask, instead of, my God, a million people died from this thing. And, you know, the people who really should be held to account are those who minimized it, not those who overreacted. I think overreaction is much better than underreacting when you're dealing with a global pandemic. And you know, you look around, and that is just not the way people are thinking. And somehow, you know, to get political on this, somehow Democrats are losing yet again on something they should be winning on. They did, you know, a much better job dealing with the pandemic than Republicans did, but somehow Republicans are getting the upper hand again by ridiculing Democrats who are basically, you know, advising people to stay safe in various ways. Yeah, you know, things get disproven, science changes, that is the nature of it. When we first got the vaccine, we thought that we wouldn't get the virus. Well, guess what? You know, the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting the virus entirely, but it certainly minimizes the effects of the virus. If I hadn't gotten the vaccine, God knows what state I would be in. So these are all good things, and people should take credit for that if they pushed for vaccines, if they pushed for wearing masks when it was important. And instead, we're focusing on the wrong things like we always do, and it's just super frustrating, especially going through it. It's super frustrating just to see the way it's being misrepresented. So, yeah, that's, you know, the mask mandate, all right, whatever. I don't know why it's not being appealed or if it's being appealed, but...
Oh, I think it must be. It has
well,
to be.
Well, all the airlines just suddenly said, okay, everybody take their in the middle of flights, they said, take your masks off, it's over. Which was very upsetting to those people who wanted to wear masks. All of a sudden, everybody is around them not wearing masks.
Yeah, this is fantasy. This is, again, this is for people's mental health and economics more than transmitting this virus, I think.
But if I could stay in Florida just for a moment, I don't want to, but I have to. You see this latest story about the math textbooks?
No.
Florida has rejected almost half of the new math textbooks, basically saying that they have critical race theory contained within them, and not giving a single example of what the hell they're talking about. Have you heard that story out there in the
no.
in the real world?
No, I'm unaware. This is news to me that the math textbook somehow is teaching race. That's a doozy. I'll bite. How? But they're not telling us, so they're not going to tell me how. So I'm left to my imagination.
It's all based on a press release, which said the list of rejected books makes up approximately 41% of submissions, the most in Florida's history. The reasons for rejecting the textbooks include references to critical race theory, inclusions of Common Core, and the unsolicited addition of social-emotional learning in mathematics. Okay, you know, I have vague ideas as to what those things are, but I have no specific idea as to what they're talking about as far as how this relates to math. And I don't know why they don't give examples, but it's just kind of scary to see how quickly they jump on things. And I can't imagine that mathematics textbooks have a whole lot to do with critical race theory, but you know, I'm open to judging if I actually see an example.
This is just stuff to get Democrats' wheels spinning. That's all it is. This is some made up thing that we're supposed to be on our heels over, explaining and again being boring, doing the right thing. Same thing with the pandemic. It's like, you know, oh, stay safe. Well, stay safe isn't cool. Being out there and, you know, having fun, that's what, you know, people want. And so here it's a way to cast their adversary as at fault and thus whatever the issue is something they have to answer for. And that's, you know, it's the gotcha, this like fake gotcha that then we spend an inordinate amount of time trying to say, no, this is made up and out of nowhere. And that is where we lose ground. And spend all that time defending something that is not something that aren't the policies we want to defend, I think. That's my opinion.
Andrew Spars, president of the Florida Education Association, called for transparency in how the state's Department of Education made the decision, including examples of objectionable content and details about those who've reviewed the textbooks and their qualifications. He says, as it stands now, only one publisher's full suite of K through 5 math textbooks is available to Florida districts, and we don't have a detailed understanding of why. The state has an obligation to ensure that every child is getting the math instruction they need with the highest quality materials. So, again, yeah, the secrecy is just insane here. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And can you imagine, you know, this is nearly half of the math textbooks, what they're going to do to history textbooks, because they're sure not going to like the way history is portrayed because history, you know, history doesn't reflect well on people like this who don't want to talk about bad things in history.
Well, the history that they want to laud isn't quite sanitized enough for prime time. They have to work on it a little more.
And, you know, with all the anti-gay and anti-trans, anti-women bills and laws that are being passed throughout this nation, we're looking at some dark times ahead. I mean, it's really kind of crazy.
Well, it's so upsetting and, as you said, dark. It's kind of humorous. I mean, that's the way I've been sort of coping, is that it's just funny left and right. It's just everywhere you turn, something else is this scary thing that we have to be up in arms about. I never realized books were such a threat, and turns out they always were. And here we go again with policing ideas and what people think and what they read. We don't want dangerous ideas. We don't want stories that aren't approved to get out there. I mean, just if the lack of perspective or self-awareness, just they can't see how absurd this kind of condemnation and policing is. You know, there's such thing as, you know, reading and taking in ideas that you don't agree with, but they can still exist. Getting rid of them, banning them, attributing them to agendas or ulterior philosophies or something, or even political persuasions, right? Socialism and all that scariness. It just ends up being this straw man again that is a distraction. People end up trying to fight, but it's pretty gross. I mean, I just have to laugh. I find it really humorous, because this is all the stuff last century we were like, no, we don't do that. We don't do that here. And it seems like all of the attempts to move in that direction are I guess, up for reinterpretation. And there's this set of sanctimonious righteous zealots that are going around telling everybody that they're to be afraid of all of these things out there that are a part of some plan or some crazy conspiracies, or just they don't like them because they don't fit with their religion. That's the kicker for me. They talking about this country being one type of religion, yet we're you know, we're embracing many types of religion. And to me, a belief like that, it should allow those who also just don't believe what you believe. And yet we have to listen to these people air their attitudes about what should be taught and what should be said about faith or history or biology and so forth. We're just spending an inordinate amount of time entertaining wild, crazy stuff that is really age old. These are like classic tropes. I mean, all of the anti-gay stuff, it was the same stuff that was seen last century. Same stuff with, CRT. I could go on and on. You got to stop me. You just get a steamroller. I don't know what to say. I could talk like for hours about any one of these things.
Could you? Because boy, that would be a relief for me. I'll just hang up and lie down.
Well, I just think with like the sex ed and kids and stuff like that, I think like definitely I think, you know, adolescence into teenage years, you got to be learning about that stuff. And I think there should be more learning about that stuff. The thing that isn't talked about here is how much public schools have been devoid of sex ed, life skills, whatever classes you want to call these things. They've been dismantling this stuff. And now that it's there anywhere is like big and scary. And it's being wrapped up into hyperbole around ever younger people learning about this stuff. And I think that it's not a binary, like it's not as cut and dry. Like there may be younger people that are having gender dysmorphia or are not comfortable in the kinds of sexed environments we have. And they may need to talk to somebody. They may need supportive adults in their lives. And I don't think we should be eliminating resources for those people because everyone else is uncomfortable or we want to purport that everyone else might be made to feel uncomfortable by exceptions or by people that might need to know a little bit more earlier because they're going through stuff.
The fact is everyone else is not uncomfortable. It's a small minority of hateful people
who feel threatened. Most people are like, yeah, that isn't taught to young people. And, you know, I think, yeah, I don't know what grade those ages are. I guess that's fourth and fifth, whatever. I think schools should be empowered to be teaching really accurate stuff, give as much good age-appropriate information as possible. The kinds of curriculum that I was taught around that when I was younger did not, I think, fully support all of the kinds of things that we're talking about today. So, yeah, that kind of curriculum has evolved in schools. I think it would probably be eye-opening probably for me to even look at some of the ways that they're talking about things that were just absent, completely invisible in the kind of curriculum that I learned about in high school or middle school, or that maybe you learned about. So yeah, it's changed. And I think maybe parents now are probably, it's not like what they learned, you know, in school, but at the same time, I don't really think all parents are well equipped. It's kind of a cliche, but they're not really there to talk about this stuff in all cases. Even if they have a really open and good communication in their family, the safety of their family environment, I don't think it's taboo. I think a lot of that is a huge amount of discomfort and some of our wider social, prudishness and difficulty talking about that in broader American society. But if it's difficult enough in the house, people you live with, you have to live with them for 18 years, at least there should be resources in a school environment that can augment that a little bit. So I just think that lumping it all into one hyperbolic sentence, that to me is just a huge red flag. It's like, okay, that is meant to drive everyone insane. I'm not giving that my time. Makes you want to cry, makes you upset, but
it should make you upset, and it should make you want to do something about it. And, you know, the problem is that we spend a lot of time complaining, but we don't actually vote out these idiots. And, you know, we basically, like in 2021, so many elections were won based on lies about critical race theory in schools and things like that. And you wind up with people who do the things that we're talking about, who basically target LGBTQ youth, who basically censor books, who establish an environment of fear and ignorance, and it's all based on lies. And we keep letting these people get into power, and we have to stop doing that. We have to stop doing that. You know, it's easy to point fingers and ridicule and you know, make light of the most egregious examples of people saying stupid things. But you can't let that define who you are. And I think that's what a lot of people on the Democratic side seem to allow to happen to them, where basically they're somehow they're somehow defined as being part of cancel culture or politically correct people, when in actuality, you know, that's as much the case on either side. It's not something that Democrats or liberals have a particular stake in. For instance, what DeSantis just did in Florida, he's trying to cancel Disney because he doesn't like the fact that Disney is standing up for trans people or gay people.
So he's trying
to penalize them. He's trying to cancel their self-governing status. You know, that's crazy in and of itself, but that's not the point. The point is that because they dare to question him, he's trying to cancel them. It's not something that you can say only liberals do this. No. Everybody does this, and right now the people in power, which are Republicans, are doing that, and it needs to be challenged. It needs to be stopped.
Yeah, and the lying, I mean, it's they know they're lying. The people that vote them into office know they're lying, and we're sitting around spending all kinds of hot air trying to point at the lies and explain to people that these are lies.
See, I don't know about that. I don't know if the people who vote for them necessarily know they're lying.
I think they
fall for it. They're told lies. They believe them. They seem outrageous.
You think it's 80-20?
Well, when people say stupid things in response, you know, like the guy running for governor of Virginia last year, basically he said something. I understand why he said it, but he said parents shouldn't be deciding what kids learn in school. I agree with that because, you know, it's teacher's domain. Parents shouldn't be in there micromanaging, but they do need to have a say. The way he said it made it seem like he was trying to cut them out completely. It was a dumb way of saying it. It lost him the election. And that's the kind of thing that Democrats need to avoid doing.
Well, he's having a nuanced conversation against over an example that you know was bait for the most hyperbolic and mm-hmm. knee-jerk crazy reaction. So yeah, he's going to try to speak to something like, yeah, parents shouldn't be, but that's, you know, facing the specter of demonstrably changing the way that curriculum is planned and implemented in the wider system. But they're
that's
talking
exactly about, it. That's exactly it's bait. That you're baited with these ridiculous situations, hypotheticals, and then you react out of emotion, and everyone is like, "Aha! This proves it," and you lose based on that.
Yeah, he's speaking to one thing in maybe a nuanced that he thinks is nuanced, but it's the sound bites then framed in the context of whatever. A caricature of that nuanced debate,
right.
and then he comes off a certain way when he thinks he's having in his own mind this sort of more thoughtful, intellectual approach, and it just sounds bad. Yeah,
but you don't have to go to Virginia to find this. It's happening right here in Long Island, New York, everywhere. The wool is being pulled over people's eyes, and lies are being told, emotional reactions are being sought. And the wrong people are being put in power, and you're seeing what happens when they are in power. It's really disgusting. Hey, I just saw something. We're in Newsday.
We are.
There's a story that just ran in Newsday about WUSB. I'm going to read it. SBU's Stonebrook University campus radio station loses signal, partially knocked off air. It's kind of cool to be reading this on a station that's knocked off the air. Stony Brook University's campus radio station, WUSB, hey, get that, they got the call letters right this time, lost its main signal at 90.1 FM Monday morning because of a power outage, university officials and a disc jockey said. The school has launched a search to replace the 4,000-watt station's 30-year-old transmitter. God damn it. It wants money for me to keep reading. This is so frustrating. I want to read the story about WUSB on WUSB, and Newsday just put up a paywall. Ugh. Okay, I'm sorry, folks. That's all I can read. I'm blocked. Damn it.
Well, that's fantastic that they were able to pick up the story and share it with a wider area. We certainly we need people to know that we are fundraising. This has been a real kick in the teeth to have our signal lost, but
I'm sorry, you can't hear the rest of what Kyle is saying unless you pony up money right now. We're blocking you and putting up a paywall so that you can't hear any more audio. Please deposit money, and then Kyle can continue to speak. That's what it's like. That's what they just did to me.
That is what it's like. But we would never do that to you because this is community radio.
We don't know how to do that.
We don't. We don't know how to do that. We're maintained by your support. This is a student effort. We have been on the air for 45 years. 45 years.
Yeah, this is going to be our 45th anniversary. Boy.
This is the perfect storm of bad news. But the good news is you're out there. You can go to WUSB.FM. You can find out all the magnificent thank you gifts that we have, all the pledge levels that are available. We are fundraising, and we're doubling down on our fundraising because we are very shortly... we're going to be doing some construction. We are going to be wheeling equipment around. We have a lot to work on. I didn't know we were going to get into this. This is another topic that is basically a landmine for me. But it's a labor of love for a lot of people, and they are frantically working right now amidst this fundraising period to get the station back on the air at 90.1 WUSB. Stony Brook.
And just as you mentioned at the top of the hour, there are alternative ways people can listen to the station while we work to fix 90.1 FM, and that's 107.3 in the Stony Brook area until those conservative idiots take over our signal in other parts, and also WUSB.FM, and you can get to us on various home assistant devices by telling Alexa or whoever you named it, to play WUSB. You can use the TuneIn app to get us, various others, I believe, as well.
Yes, whatever your device, Siri, they have all kinds of different names. You know, I was just thinking, we can make it a threat that, we're off the air, but we're coming back bigger and badder than ever. We can make those stations, the ones that shall not be named, we can make them shake in their boots because we have the support of the WUSB listener. That's right, you seated out there with your snacks, listening to this lovely talk show and all the other incredible programming. You can donate to this station. You can help us get a new transmitter. We're going to come back with solid state. Yeah, no more analog. It's going to be serious equipment. We're talking new metal, and you're going to make it happen.
631-632-6901 is our phone number, or go to the website WUSB.FM. But please, it's really vital and urgent that you spread the word, because we can't do it right now. We don't have a signal to do this with. It reminds me of an episode of WKRP where Les Nessman, their newscaster, is basically doing a newscast. Their transmitter has blown up, literally blown up, and he comes out of the newsroom, and they said, Les, you just did a newscast. We're off the air. I said, yeah, I know. That was my top story. That's we've got a little bit more of a clue than that, but we're kind of in that position right now where we're trying to get the word out on a radio station that is not broadcasting. Okay, you know what? I'm going to try to read another story.
Yes.
On Newsday, for some reason, this one seems to be working better. There's hawk attacks in Northport Village. You know about this? We were in Northport not too long ago.
A hawk attack?
Yeah. Basically, they're attacking people, sometimes knocking people to the ground, causing concussions or injuries requiring stitches. These aren't scenes out of a Hitchcock movie. It's what Northport Village officials say they face as they deal with an aggressive hawk nesting in the area. The most recent reported attack was last Tuesday when a woman received lacerations to the top of her head. That's according to Northport Village Police Chief Chris Hughes. Since July 12th, there have been 15 incidents, including 11 attacks, 7 requiring medical attention, and other incidents where a red-tailed hawk has swooped over their heads. The hawk is nesting just east of Main and Church Streets. We're doing everything we can to remove the bird in a humane way. Police Chief Hughes said, we don't want to see it harmed, obviously, but I'm concerned someone is going to lose an eye. After the first, why am I able to read this story? I can't read our story. It's the same Newsday site, but I'm able to read about the attacking hawk, but I can't read about my own radio station? Why is that? Okay, whatever. After the first couple of attacks, Hughes said he reached out to the Department of Agriculture because red-tailed hawks are a federally protected species, along with their nests, eggs, and feathers, under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 1918. Wait, their feathers are protected?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, if their feather falls off,
yep,
that's protected.
Yeah, well, you cannot collect their feathers, no.
Well, what if it falls off and is on the ground? What are you supposed to do?
I don't know if it's the same thing, but I think what they're talking about is if there is a dead hawk, like a deceased one, you can't gather up its remains, like all of feathers, and just mount it or take it for your collection or something. But if there's, yeah, one feather, yeah, I think it's a little harder to discern that that feather has come from a protected bird necessarily. And I think the one isn't quite the issue. It's more about people finding whole birds and taking all of the plumage. But I'm not a police person. I don't know.
Yeah, could have fooled me.
I don't know how DEC works with that, but I know that there are exceptions, especially with indigenous and tribal groups, for regalia and religious and ceremonial purposes. The collection of feathers is allowed, but normal, everyday, average people cannot do that with protected species.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to be trying to pluck a feather off of a hawk anytime soon.
Not these ones. They seem pretty nasty.
I like the idea that there's wildlife that's fighting back.
They're just not having it.
Like, yeah, you know, it's just we're done. And yeah, you might be in Main Street in Northport, but this is my turf, and you will respect me.
Stupid. I got these kids back here.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to hunt, bring home some food.
Look at this. I can read more of the story. Unbelievable. The agency conducted a survey of the area, set a trap, and caught a juvenile red-tailed hawk back in August. Tanya Espinoza, a public affairs specialist for the department's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, said the agency used a Swedish goshawk trap to capture the bird. She said it took less than a day to trap it, and it was tagged and relocated to a county park in Suffolk. Things were quiet for a bit. But, according to Hughes, in December 2021, we started to get the attacks again, and since then they've become more frequent. We do not know how many hawks. It is presumed now that the same hawk has wreaked all the havoc and that the USDA unknowingly captured a different bird back in August. Yeah. So the Northport police chief is pointing the finger at the USDA there for not being able to tell red-tailed hawks apart. On March 31st, a drone sent up by the State Department of Environmental Conservation discovered the nest possibly containing eggs near St. Philip Neri Church. They believe it's sitting on a couple of eggs, and it's trying to hatch some newborns. That's why they think it's becoming extremely territorial. It's trying to protect its nest. Makes sense. A recent attempt at trapping the bird was unsuccessful, so plans are underway for a second try, either by USDA or the DEC. I can't believe I can keep reading this story, but I can't read our own story about WUSB. DEC spokesperson Aphrodite Montavo said the agency is in contact with the USDA and the village to make a determination on addressing the situation quickly. Peter Monkin, 49 years old, was out for his first run in a month the morning of March 27th when a hawk drew blood after scratching his head as he ran south on Scudder Avenue between Park Street and Seaview Avenue. He said he was shaken by the encounter but considers it a good problem to have as we have to share the community with wildlife. Peter, you get it. You get it, Peter. It drew blood from you, but you still understand. Alicia Grubesi, the hospital director at Volunteers for Wildlife, Inc. in Locust Valley, said in an email, Red-tailed hawks and other birds may feel threatened if there is a lot of human activity directly underneath or in the immediate area of an active nest, especially if babies are present. She recommends using alternate walkways if residents are aware of an active red-tailed hawk, hawk nest, in a high-traffic area. And, you know, that's that reminds me of the East Village, where we have Christo, the red-tailed hawk, who hangs out at Tompkins Square Park. Everybody knows this bird, and this whole family. In fact, he has two wives. It's a long story about that. But that's a city. That's New York City, and everybody coexists. So it can work out. You don't have to just go and swoop in and remove them. There are ways of figuring out how to live together in relative peace and harmony.
I just kept imagining this guy with blood running down his face saying, yeah, it's okay. I consider it a good thing as he's got a drip from some gash, some talons made. Poor guy. I hope he gets another run in this season.
But you know what I heard recently that really annoyed me is that I think it was Department of Environmental Conservation okaying the idea of wild turkey hunts in Suffolk County. And my God, people, wild turkeys are the ones who eat the deer ticks, okay? And deer ticks, that's the problem that we have with all the deer running around, spreading ticks and Lyme disease and all that. You want a solution to that that's not involving spraying chemicals and doing all kinds of poisonous activities? Wild turkeys are the answer. So don't hunt them. If you hunt them, you're getting rid of them, and then you have the same problem back again. Just because there's a whole bunch of wild turkeys around, and sure, maybe sometimes they'll chase you or, you know, frighten your dog or cat, it's life. Deal with it. But getting rid of the ticks, that is a super important thing and a great service, and I'm happy that there are wild turkeys around.
Yeah, and let's be real, it's not that great of a bird to go hunt. I mean, you can get better game. Go hunt a pheasant.
Don't do that either. No, I mean, come on, there aren't that many pheasants around. Look, the wild turkeys, you have a good point. They're not good for eating because domestic turkeys are the ones that people generally have at Thanksgiving. These ones are just shaped differently or something. That's not why people hunt them.
Yeah, well, I'm saying there's other things to hunt. This is doing something, and you're reducing its ability to do that by hunting, and it's not that great of a catch, in my opinion, but what's that worth?
Yeah, well, it's definitely worth a lot. I was able to read that whole story, and I still can't read about WUSB and Newsday, but folks, for those of you who've gotten past the paywall in Newsday, there's a big story about us in there. I can't read it. I don't know what it says, but no doubt it has something to do with the fact that we're not on the air on 90.1 FM and that we need help desperately. It's in Newsday, big time. You can help us by calling 631-632-6901 and pledging whatever you can afford, getting as many people to call that number as possible, or go to WUSB.FM and pledge there and help us get back on the air, because not being on the air is a big blow to a radio station, believe me. And that transmitter has been going nonstop since 1991. It's just amazing to me that was possible.
It's so amazing. I mean, just the sheer history, the voices that have been modulated over that thing, and now it's not with us. It's going to be tragic going forward here in the next couple weeks without you folks. Please do what you can. And keep listening. The streams, the local station, 107.3 W297BM, all great ways to stay informed, to stay up to date. We're going to be sharing with you our progress and more information about the recent loss of our main transmitter at WUSB. Breaking story here. But we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. We're in the midst of a fundraiser, so we're going to keep fundraising, and you're a part of that.
And just to give you a sense, the 107.3 translator station that we have, I believe that's 7 watts. 7 watts. And our main transmitter is 3,600 watts. So that's the difference that we're talking about right there. Now, we might be able to get something temporary up at 90.1 at a lower power. If that's the case, we'll be able to get back on, but at a much reduced footprint. The goal, obviously, is to get the full footprint back, to get our signal back on the air as soon as possible.
Absolutely. And if we have to, we'll just jam on that same frequency until then.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. That works.
Well, if we can't have it, then no one else can. It's our frequency. And no doubt we're going to come back bigger, badder, stronger, and, more digital. Because
That's kind of how I feel, because, you know, if I can't go outside and do things in the world, then nobody can. Basically, I got completely decommissioned this week, and somehow I dragged the whole radio station down with me.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, and the station that we, the transmitter that we replace it with, it's going to have an attitude, okay? That's all I got to say.
It's been so weird, Kyle, just being isolated. We're in the same building. But we're not able to actually hang out face-to-face, so we communicate. We literally communicate by thumping on walls or by using our Alexa devices to open intercoms or texting.
We've been queuing up programs and watching them in different parts of the building when we're taking a break, and it's kind of cool to just be able to tap and then... we're able to share something, even though we're not in the same part of the complex here.
Yeah, no, it's good to be able to see something at the same time. And if my feed makes me watch commercials and I can't skip over them, and you can skip over them, we have to queue it up somehow. So that's when thumping on the wall helps. But you know what? I'm kind of sick of it, and I've been doing this for almost a week now. And it's like being in prison. It really is. I mean, it's a pleasant prison. I can look out the window. I can walk around a little bit. But it's, you know, not being there are days when I haven't said a word for like 10 hours after I've woken up. And it's just, you know, it's you realize the people who are confined for real, the hell that must be. And you should never take that lightly.
No, not at all. I've been feeling the same way. Like, am I the one quarantining? I guess I am quarantining, as you said earlier. And
you get to go out, though. You get to go out into the world.
You know, it's not. Wow, it's not what you think it is, but
yeah,
I guess it's fun. Yeah, no, I'm out there. I'm way out there in the world, low orbit, floating around, and you know, people are nice. People are busy. It's a busy time. There's a lot going on, a lot of devastation and sadness, a lot of positive stuff, a lot of people gathering, a lot of performances and art. People are being expressive, and I really hope that turns the tide politically and socially in this country, that we stay out there and express in concert and in music and in talk and art. And really shape that into the societies that we deserve.
Hey, Kyle, we have to go. Finn is in the wings.
Hot on our heels. All right.
You know, it's interesting. I'm encoding vinyl down here, and one of the records I encoded was a John Lennon record, and a song came on that just epitomized what I was feeling, and that's what we're going to play going out.
Good night.
All right. We got it made. Don't they know we're so afraid? Isolation. We're afraid to be alone. Everybody got to have a home. Isolation. Just a boy and a little girl trying to change the whole wide world. Isolation. The world is just a little town. Everybody trying to pull us down. I don't expect you to understand after you've caused so much pain, but then again
you're not to blame. You're just a human, a victim of the insane. We're afraid of everyone, afraid of the sun. Isolation. The sun will never disappear, but the world may not have many years.